Mayday. Wow. That is not a cry of distress either. That's today is Mayday, the 1st of May, 2017, from Los Angeles. It's Joe Crummy. Welcome to my Evil Thoughts podcasts. I'm old enough to remember when Mayday meant like I'm sinking or I'm crashing or whatever. Mayday, now that's different. Mayday is happening every year. You know, I remember when Mayday meant either I'm crashing or I'm sinking, or it meant those commies or those people in Europe are having some sort of a socialist leftist wacko celebration Mayday. And as a kid, you'd see the missiles and that whole thing that you saw from North Korea a couple of week or two ago. And well, it's different now. No, Mayday's here now, too. Mayday in L.A. There's supposed to be 100,000 people in downtown Los Angeles today. There usually are anyway, but they're all going to be marching and being in the street and making everybody crazy. But it's all good because it's about evil Trump, who will also be on the podcast today. Where is evil Trump? You'll like this.
I would speak to him. I would have no problem speaking to him.
We'll find out who he's talking about, because that's freaking out a lot of people, too, that he would actually talk to him. So he's evil Trump is on the show today. Also coming up, the world's oldest man has died. I'll tell you how old. I mean, this guy's really old. I mean, you keep thinking. I'll tell you this. The oldest person on the planet that you probably ever heard of was that lady in France. What was her name? Jean Calme, I think. And she was 122 when she died. This guy, if you believe him, is a lot older than that. So we'll be talking about him on the show today. But first of all, let's talk about Mayday, immigration. We'll talk all about that because that's what Mayday's all about anyway in Los Angeles, is illegal immigration. And as you know, evil Trump actually wants to, close the border or have some control over the United States. And as you well know, we can't have that. I like the story in the Washington Post about it yesterday. This is great, too. Here is the Washington Post headline. This is their headline yesterday. Amid immigration setbacks, one Trump strategy seems to be working. Fear. And I read the article, and in the article they were saying that Trump, when before he got elected, listen to these numbers, the immigration people at the border were apprehending every month over 40,000 people coming over the southern border. Every month they were catching 40,000, and you've got to wonder how many were they not getting. But they were getting 40,000 every month when Trump took over president, I think as of the end of 2016. And even then, evil Trump was already the president for a month or so. And their whole point is he's scaring everybody away. And I think it's great. Whatever. But there's 40,000. And they said now they're only catching 12,261. And I thought that was really intriguing because I'm thinking, it's funny, 40,000, it wasn't 40,122 or whatever, but, you know, it's just 40,000. But now they know it to the person, 12,161 or 21, whatever it is, to the actual person now, and that he's scaring them away just by talking tough. And his predecessor, as you know, was rounding up some people, violent criminals, but he sent mixed messages. He sent a dual message. President Obama said, you know what, if you're here, I'm not going to do anything about it. And what did that mean? That meant everybody, boom, you know, all coming over the border, because he said, I'm not going to do anything. You actually have to murder somebody before I did it, you know, before I throw you out of here. So a lot of people ended up showing up, and I'm having a problem with the headset today. How's it sound? All right. Yeah, it sounds fine to you, but to me, it's all on in and out. Anyway, so the president, Obama, said, you know, I won't throw you out unless you kill somebody or something like that. Trump says, no, I'm going to lower the bar on that. If you're not here and you do any crime whatsoever, you're drinking and driving, you're out of here. Imagine that you're drinking and driving. You're in the United States. You're driving, I would think, without a license, although there are some states. I think there's 10 or 12 states where you can get a license. But, you know, let's just say you're drinking and driving in a state where you don't even have a license and, we weren't throwing you out? I think, okay, that's cool. And the other thing I was going to say about it is, I guess the word fear, you know, the liberals like, that's bad, that you're a fear, you know, you're afraid. And I've always said, well, aren't you supposed to be afraid? You're illegally in the United States. Here's a lady from the march today in downtown Los Angeles. She's roughly saying the same thing.
I think it's very, very important for me to be here for those children that need a voice, for those parents that cannot be here because either they can lose their job or because they're fearful.
Yeah, they're fearful. They love saying that. And I've always said, what's the point of having a border? You're supposed to be afraid you crossed it. I mean, there's no point in having a border if you're not afraid. What's the point of the border? it sounds great on the surface. Yeah, he's sowing fear. I'm thinking, good. If you're illegally in the United States, you're supposed to be afraid. You're not supposed to be comfortable. You're supposed to be uncomfortable. You're supposed to be looking over your shoulder because you're not here legally. Hello, It's just people don't get it. Anyway, so we're going to 100,000 people screaming about evil Trump today in downtown Los Angeles. And that's just one of the billion reasons to not go downtown. For the most part. But anyway, that's what's happening in downtown L.A., the evil fear. Now let's talk about the man causing all the evil fear.
I would speak to him. I would have no problem speaking to him.
Here is Donald Trump today. I don't know exactly the context of that one particular piece of audio, but I assume he's talking in that piece of audio about the fat guy that runs North Korea. That would be Kim Jong-un. And there is a Bloomberg report today that the president said he would be honored to meet with this guy running North Korea. And, of course, the president's haters are having a heart attack about that. Oh, my God, he's an evil guy, and he does whatever to his people, and he starves them, and he's a brutal dictator, and he's doing this. How could the president say, that he'd be honored to meet him? As a matter of fact, I was listening to watching CNN, and they had on Rear Admiral John Kirby on with Wolf Blitzer, who was just like tearing his hair out about it. Like, oh, my God, it's just a terrible thing. And, of course, I always look up the people. I mean, who is this guy, John Kirby? He worked in the Obama administration, of course. Whatever. By the way, President Obama said he would meet with the leader of North Korea himself in 2008, but these guys all seem to forget about that. Why not? Not meeting with him has worked great. You can see that. Not meeting him. What are you supposed to do? I would meet with him. I would meet with anybody. If I didn't think they were going to shoot me, I guess we could, figure that out. But, why not meet with him? Ignoring him, you can see how well that's worked. The guy apparently has nuclear bombs. What he doesn't have yet is the delivery system. But apparently he's working on that. So I don't care how you fix it. But somehow, you got to get his finger off the button, and he's got him aimed at us. You guys fix it. I don't care how you fix it, but just fix it. Okay, so, if you got to meet with him, fine. Meet with him, see where you can go. If you got to shoot him, okay, then shoot him. Maybe that works. I mean, you guys figure it out. But one thing we can't do is just keep it going the way it's been going, because it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So if the president wants to meet with the guy, Mr. President, if you want to meet with him?
I would speak to him. I would have no problem speaking to him.
Fine. You meet with him, as far as I'm concerned. Go right ahead. Now, what do we got for time here on the podcast? We're only 8 minutes and 28 seconds into this. One thing I wanted to mention about downtown Los Angeles, too, just to eat up a little time, but it's important to talk about this. I don't know if you saw any shows over the weekend about the 25th anniversary of the L.A. riots, which I saw because I was here. I just recently moved to L.A. at the time. And I noticed, and I didn't do a special podcast over the weekend about it because I saw some talk about it, but we've got to be careful about revisionism when it comes to the L.A. riots. Because you see these stories where people are trying to turn it into some kind of social movement. That the L.A. riots was sort of like a Dr. Martin Luther King kind of moment. And that's hardly... By the way, he was anti-violence, right? He was famously anti-violence. But they did pull a quote from Martin Luther King that I saw locally here in L.A. on Channel 5 last week when they were trying to revise how we look at the L.A. riots, again, trying to sort of cast it as some grand social movement in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. They used a quote that they attributed to Dr. King, and I don't know whether he said it or not. Maybe he did. He said, riots are the language of the oppressed, or something like that. Maybe he said it. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe his kid said it. Maybe somebody said he said it. I mean, maybe he did say it, but I don't care whether he said it or not. Riots are bullshit, all right? That's what riots are. I don't care who said what. I'm just telling you, riots are bullshit. And if you've ever been in the middle of one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I actually drove into the riots like a stupid fool. And I will tell you this, don't be fooled that the L.A. riots were some sort of a noble social movement, because that's not what they were. It was chaos. It was anarchy. It was violence in the streets. They started by clubbing this guy. There was a guy. This is how it started. Besides the video of Rodney King, the guy that was driving, who was evading the cops, high on PCP. I haven't even looked this up. I just still remember this kind of stuff. Running from the cops, they finally pulled him over. And he was so hopped up on God knows what, even when they tased him, he wasn't going down. And so they were beating on him, and somebody videotaped it. And they played it over and over, looped to the tape, so to speak, until everybody in the African-American community, understandably, was kind of pissed off about it. Then the cops go up on some kind of a trial out in Simi Valley, which is in the outskirts of Los Angeles, you know, not in the inner city, not, you know, not in the hood, so to speak. They did the trial outside of town. The cops weren't convicted. Within an hour, because I remember hearing about it, I was in my car driving around, and they were not convicted. Within an hour, crowds had gathered in South Central Los Angeles, and they pulled this guy out of a transit mixed cement truck, and his name was Reginald Denny. He was just some white guy, you know, doing his job in a truck. They pulled him out, and they almost beat him to death on TV. You could see it. Taking a brick and smashing his head in, and his eyeball was out of his head. I mean, the whole thing was just awful, and that's where it started, and it just got worse. Those riots were racist. It was a terrible, terrible thing. You don't know what it's like. Most Americans don't know what it's like to walk down the street and know there is no law and order. I had never, ever experienced anything like that. Now, maybe if you are in some of those African countries where marauding groups of dudes and pickup trucks with guns show up and steal all the young boys and kill the girls or whatever they do, you know, maybe that's what you would know if you live there. But in the United States, we don't live like that. But we did in Los Angeles during the riots, because I drove into the riots, and I never experienced anything when you're, you know, like when a stoplight turns red, you assume people are going to stop, right? Mm-mm. That's not what happened. When there is no order anymore, the stoplights don't mean anything. It was weird. People would cross the streets in hordes of people were just kind of crossing the street, paying no attention to traffic. You know, normally on the road, people kind of behave and do what they're supposed to do. That was all out the window. Most of us have no idea what it's like when there is no law and order, and it has broken down, and it's now the strong who prey upon the weak, and there's nobody to stop it. That's what it was. So don't be fooled by all this talk about the L.A. riots 25 years ago were some sort of a social justice movement, because, no, they were riots. That's what it was. Widespread looting, people taking advantage of the lack of law and order, stealing whatever they can. The liquor stores go first, as you know. I don't know. I see that stuff, and it gets to me personally, because I was in the middle of it, smelling the buildings burning, all of that stuff, and it irks me. So get off my lawn. I know I sound like an old guy, but there we go. By the way, the oldest guy on the planet has died. I talked about this at the beginning of the show. He was from Central Java. You're probably wondering, where the hell is that? That's actually in Indonesia and Malaysia, you know, those little islands way out in the Pacific. Before you get to our good friends in Korea and all those kinds of people, you get, after you're done with Hawaii and you keep moving toward China and all those places, you run into places like Central Java, Malaysia, Indonesia, places like Jakarta, Singapore, all of that. Well, one of those islands to the south is Central Java, and some guy passed away who said he was 145 years of age. His name was see if I can get his name for you. Mabai Golfo. I'm sure that I'm pronouncing this wrong, but something really cracked me up. This guy said he was born in, I think it was 1870. And he said he was 145 years old. I don't think the math works out exactly right, but whatever. 1870. Dude was born in 1870, and he was 145 years of age. But that's not what cracked me up. I was listening to the video, and this is what it sounds like.
Yang berusia lanjut ini masih terlihat segar dan sehat.
Whatever.
Dalam kesehariannya, kakek yang biasa disapa.
And they're showing video of this guy, this really old guy, sitting on a bench or something like that. This is what cracked me up. He was a heavy smoker. That was the crack up, that he lived to be 145, and he smoked like a chimney. And you see him smoking, but they fuzz out the video section around his mouth, so you can't see the cigarette or the spliff or whatever it is he's smoking, you know. And then he puts it down, and then they unfuzz the video so it's clear, and then he blows out all this smoke. You think, who are they kidding? You know, like, they're not allowed to show the cigarette or something, but all the smoke comes out instead. Dude was a heavy smoker. He lived to be the longest, supposedly the oldest guy that ever lived, smoked like a chimney. They try to fake you out by, you know, fuzzing out the video that he blows the smoke out. I think it's funny. Whatever. That's podcast for today, May Day in Los Angeles. Anything crazy happens, we'll be talking about it tomorrow on the podcast. We do them every day. I want you to rate the podcast on iTunes. I want you to subscribe to this podcast and tell people about the podcast. Like, hey, it's this great podcast, Evil Thoughts by Joe Crummy. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Why am I laughing? I don't know. And follow me on and add me on Instagram as Crummy Joe. Those are my evil thoughts. Turn up the music.